will, take your Bible and stand with me and turn to Matthew chapter 3. If you don't have your Bible, if you forgot it, or maybe you simply don't have one, there's some on the tables at the back of the auditorium here by the doors. Feel free to grab one, use it if you forgot yours, or if you don't have a Bible, I want you to take one as a gift from us to you. And we believe that the Word of God is alive and active, and it's the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit that changes lives. Amen? Amen. We're going to look at just a couple of verses. And it's found in verse 16 and 17. Now, Jesus has came to be baptized. This is the beginning of his earthly ministry. And he came to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had the honor of baptizing Jesus. And this is what it says in verse 16. It says, after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let's pray together. Father, we first, Lord, let me just say to you, happy Father's Day. Thank you, Lord, that we can call you as your children, not only Father, but we can call you Abba Father, Daddy. And Lord, thank you, Jesus, for making that even possible because of what you did on the cross of Calvary to make a way that we could become, through belief, we could be known as sons and daughters of God. Thank you, Lord. Now, God, I pray that these amazing people, God, that they don't hear my voice, but they hear another voice. I pray that they hear the voice of the precious Holy Spirit. And I pray, God, God, that your word finds a resting place in their hearts and in their minds. Lord, you tell us that your word is alive and active, and that when it goes forth, it will not return void. And so, Lord, may your work do what it's intended to do today. May lives be changed. Thank you for the amazing worship music. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is here. And we ask you these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Well, you can't have Father's Day without some dad jokes. This is the one day of the year that we just get to tell all of our dad jokes. And so, what's the difference between a dad's wallet before and after kids? There's pictures where the money used to be. Hey, why did the football coach go to the bank? To get his quarterback. These are the best. So I remember, and it hadn't been too long ago, you could go to the service station, or gas station, and you could get air for free. Now they charge you like $2. You know why? Inflation. These are awesome. One more. Well, one more. Why are fish so smart? They live in schools. Okay, one more. Why did the man fall down the well? Because he couldn't see that well. Man, those are great. So that's all the dad jokes I'm gonna put you through today. I'm sure your dad is gonna tell you plenty, because this is a day that we get a free pass to tell dad jokes. I want to talk to you today about the father that every child needs. The father that every child needs, because every child needs their father. Every child needs their father. There is a father absence crisis in America today. 1 in 4 children will go home to a home without a biological father, a stepfather or an adoptive father in that home. One out of four. 17.8 million children will do that. Research shows us that when a child is raised in a father absent home, they are affected in the following ways. There's a greater risk of poverty. They're more likely to have behavioral problems. There's a greater risk of infant mortality. They're more likely to go to prison, more likely to commit crime, more likely to become pregnant as a teen, more likely to face abuse and neglect, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. They're more likely to suffer obesity, and they're more likely to drop out of school, all because there's no father in the home. There's no father in their lives. There's no father figure making a difference. I love what Max Lucado says about his father. He said, "My father didn't do anything unusual. He only did what dads are supposed to do, be there." Billy Graham said this about fathers. He said, "A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society." What I'm going to share with you today is going to be very practical, meaning, Dad, every one of us can do it. Not only is it going to be very practical, but it's going to be very applicable. That simply means you can leave here today and apply what I'm going to teach you today. And I want to preface the rest of this talk by saying, I've not arrived here yet myself. It's my desire, my heart is bent to being a good dad, a good daddy. And so this message is as much for me as it is for every other father in the room. Remember when we were young? And we would begin to get interested in something. Like, I loved sports when I was young coming up and still do. I love hunting and fishing and the outdoors. And those things that we become interested in, that we have a passion about, we find people who are very good at those things, and we would have the tendency to call them heroes. And what we would do is we begin to study them. You know, if it's baseball, when we were coming up, every time you had a pickup game, you know, each person on the team, they were some professional athlete. You know, everybody, Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, whatever, you know, some of the greats of that time when you were growing up. And we would study those players that we just really looked up to, and we would begin to emulate them. We would play, we would bat, we would swing like they would swing. We would carry ourselves like they would carry themselves. It didn't matter, baseball, basketball, football. Hey, I love fishing. I love the outdoors. And man, when I was coming up, everybody that enjoyed fishing wanted to be the man with a Tennessee hat on. Except for I would never wear that Tennessee hat. It had a big G on mine, but everybody wanted to be Bill Dance. And so today, we're going to learn how to be the best dad that we can be. We're going to learn to be the dad that every single child needs. And we're going to do that by emulating the perfect dad, God the Father. And we're going to look at how God dealt with his son Jesus and how the father figure that he was to Jesus. Now, most people have this image of God as some crusty old man in some faraway place, all alone by himself, and all he does is create these rules and or he's keeping score at how we're doing with these rules and just waiting for us to mess up so he can punish us or he's busy, like, you know, creating new things for the world, and which, by the way, he's not created anything since the sixth day. He created everything in the sixth day, and everything that's created now is a product of that initial creation. But yes, he is the creator of the universe. Yes, he is the Almighty One. He is the Alpha Omega. He is the great I Am. But first and foremost, he's a father. He is a father. Look, Genesis 1, verse 26 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Now, who is the us in that verse? Who is the us in that statement? It's the Trinity. It's God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. God has always been a father. He has always been a father. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." God only has one biological son, and his name is Jesus. So what can we learn from God the Father as men who are flawed and imperfect and struggle, and like we probably, for every, you know, one thing we get right, we get 10 things wrong. What can we learn today that will help us to be the dad that our children need? And it's amazing, because when I was studying this scripture, all three of these points that I'm gonna be sharing with you today is found in one sentence, in one sentence. So the first type of father that every child needs is an affirming father, an affirming father. Verse 17 of our text, it says, "And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." That word affirm simply means to support someone by giving approval, recognition, and encouragement. Look, God said, this is my son. This is my son. God said that, and that was an affirming way of saying, this is my boy. Now look, dad, your children need to hear and see that you place a high value on them. Listen, but you don't understand, Pastor, all my kids are grown. Age doesn't matter. When God said this about Jesus, he was 30 years old. Listen, let me make this injection. I understand 75% of first-time marriages end in divorce. Other than my parents, everybody else, as far as I could see in my family, were divorced. So I'm very familiar, I'm very compassionate, and I'm very understanding. I just understand that some marriages just don't work. But dad, don't punish your children because you and their mother don't get along. Let me tell you something. The court shouldn't tell you how much you have to pay for child support. They're going to, but that should be the baseline. That should be the minimum. You're that child or those children's daddy. You go, but you don't understand my ex. It doesn't matter. The right thing to do is pay your child support. Now, if your children are when they know, when a child knows that they are valued by their father, there is a huge weight that they are even unaware of, but there is a huge weight that is lifted off of them. Listen, they don't have to worry about where they stand with you. They don't feel the need to prove themselves to you. They don't feel like they've got to perform to get your love and your attention. because you're always affirming them. You're always encouraging them. There is a peace within that child, it matters not how old they are, that only affirmation from their father can provide. Let them hear you with excitement and pride in your voice when you introduce them to your friends and to your buddies. This is my boy. This is my son. He might be struggling. You ain't got to tell them this, but they may already know it. He might be struggling. He might be giving. But let me tell you something. This is my son. This is my beautiful daughter. Listen, there's just something that happens to the inside of that child, to their heart, that will not happen if mama does that. And there's something supernatural that happens when a father says, this is my son. This is my daughter. Now, if you got daughters, I've got three and a son. One of them bought me a shirt that says, I've raised three daughters. I have three daughters. You can't scare me. There's a lot of truth to that. If you've got daughters, tell them often how beautiful they are. They need it not just from anybody, but from their daddy. Tell them how beautiful they are. And listen, when you introduce them, this is my beautiful daughter and her name. They might get all shy, but let me tell you something. It just builds such confidence in their heart. It just affirms, this is my daddy. He loves me. He's proud of me because we introduce them with big smiles and we say it in a way that we're so, so proud of it. Listen, God said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Let me translate that for you. This is my son that I'm very proud of. I'm very proud. I'm very proud of this boy. He's 30 years old. Let me tell you something, I'm very proud of this boy. Listen, your children are never too old for you to affirm them, Daddy. Look, with daughters, Dad, you need to set the bar so high when it comes to showing love to your daughter and communicating with her in the way you treat her, that it will eliminate all those hairy leg boys. You have set the bar so high that the only few boys that can meet that standard, they'll make good son-in-laws. I'm telling you, Dad, you've got to set the bar. You've got to show them that they're valuable. Because if you don't, I promise you, the devil will send them somebody. He'll send them somebody. 1 Thessalonians 2:11, Paul was telling the church in Thessalonica, said, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. Paul is saying, that's to be expected. Every father should encourage their children. Should exhort. What does that word exhort mean, Pastor? It simply means to speak, to teach them. Take every opportunity to teach them. It may be a painful lesson, but whatever it is, by your teaching them, you are affirming that they are valuable to you, that they are of top priority to you, that you are willing to sacrifice and do whatever to help them be productive and help show them the way. Now, my children will tell you, I was telling a gentleman back here, a family back here before service, they wished me Happy Father's Day. And I said, man, praise God, I've been one for 38 years. And listen, my children, my 38-year-old down to my 34-year-old, will, and those two 35-year-olds in the middle will tell you, like, Daddy's a very vocal dad. Like, he is going to give us his opinion whether we want it or not. And no matter how old they are, if they do something that they shouldn't be, that's just not a good look, I'm going to talk to them about it. The Bible says, children, obey your parents. That's up until they become adults. Let's say 18 in our culture. They don't have to obey you. But it says, honor your mother and your father. That's a lifetime. That's a lifetime. I tell families often when I bury a mom or a dad, I said, listen, the best way you honor your daddy moving forward is the way you live your life. So I'm a very vocal dad. I will say, hey, that's not good. You need to take that post down because it reflects on this whole family or whatever it may be. So that's what it means by exhorting them. And it also says to implore them. That means you can speak into their life. You can speak into their life. Listen, I want to tell you real quick some ways to affirm your child. Say, I'm proud of you every opportunity you get. Don't just make it up. Observe them and just let them know. You know when they need to hear it the most? When they're expecting to hear it the least. Maybe they hadn't hit the mark. They need to know that mistakes and wrong choices doesn't define who they are. But you're still proud of them because they're your son. They're your daughter. If they do something for you, here's what we have a tendency to do, Dad. We have a tendency to be overly critical when it comes to our children's performance. They want to help. They want to do something. We're too busy criticizing the way they're doing it instead of saying, thank you so much for helping me. It means a lot. I enjoyed having you help me today, even though they may have made the work twice as hard. But they need to know that that just affirms them. Listen, recognize them in public settings. Recognize them in public. Listen, introduce them with joy. Make them always feel a part. Because every child needs an affirming dad. I'll tell you something else. Every child needs an affectionate dad. Now I know that word makes most men cringe. I didn't come from an affectionate family at all. The gist of their affection was putting you in a headlock, giving you the old noogie, and shoving you away. I love you, buddy. That was it. So this is an area in my fatherhood that I really, really have to lean into. And to be honest with you, I get envious sometimes when I see those dads that are really natural at it. Like, I've got to be intentional. Because, you know, I wasn't raised up to be affectionate, but men, your children need your affection. The kind that only comes from a father. God said, this is my beloved son. My beloved son. Listen, that word beloved, the Greek is agapetos. Agapetos. Listen, it means beloved, esteemed, dear, favorite. Look, worthy of love. I read a quote this week that says, the value of a loving father has no price. The baseball MLB player from days gone by, Harmon Killebrew, said this about his dad. He said, my dad used to always play in the yard with me and my brother, and mom would always come out and yell at us and say, listen, you're tearing up the grass. And dad would respond, hey, babe, we're not raising grass, we're raising boys. We're raising boys. He was showing affection. You know, God could have simply said, this is my son, right? This is my son. But no, he was intentional about adding beloved. That word beloved simply means this is the son that I love more than anything. I love my son. I love my daughter. You know why God added beloved? Because he wanted the world to hear it. He wanted other people to hear it. But I'll tell you something equally important, if not more important. He wanted Jesus to hear it. He wanted Jesus to hear it. He knew what Jesus was going to face. He knew the hardship. So he knew that Jesus needed to be affirmed. This is my boy. Jesus says, my Father is God the Father. He knew that Jesus needed that affection and that love because he knew what Jesus was going to face. When he looked at the cross, when he knew that Jesus was going to hang on the cross and say, my God, or perfect. Father, why have you forsaken me? He knew that that was going to happen. So he was intentional about Jesus hearing him say, this is my beloved son. This is a man that's worthy of my love. There's a story in the Bible about a son. He's one of two sons, and he goes to his dad. His dad's a wealthy man. He goes to his dad. And he asks his dad, he demands his inheritance. So he gets his inheritance and he runs off and he spends it, blows it all on wild living, parties, women, the whole nine yards, and he gets flat broke and he gets to the lowest point. He finds himself in a pig pen feeding and slopping pigs, and the only food that he has is the food that the pigs are eating. That's pretty bad, right? But for a Jewish boy, that was the worst thing that could ever happen. So he devises this plan and says, listen, he's talking to himself. He says, self, if you'll just get up and you'll go back home and you just make a deal with your dad, if he'll just make you one of the servants, even the lowest servant, that you'll be home, you'll be fine, you just want to come back home. But look, so he gets up. Luke 15, verse 20 says, so he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion on him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And he said, Dad, look, and his dad, if you read it close, the dad didn't even acknowledge the deal. He said, hey, this boy of mine was lost. Now he's home. Kill the fatted calf. Get a ring. Put it on his finger. Get him a sandal. Get him a robe. And this is my son. And he's come home. That son was not expecting his daddy to run, number one, because in that culture, for a man to run meant he had to pull up his robe and expose his legs, which is just totally off. You don't do that. And running for a man of his stature is off. You can't do that either. So, Pastor, why did he run? Well, one is he was super excited to see a son who he'd been looking for, praying for every single day. But when that man showed his legs and took off running, it took all the attention off of that boy and put it on his daddy. Let me tell you something. God took all the attention off of us and put it on Jesus on the cross. And he said, Daddy, I don't deserve to be here. And his daddy said, no, listen, you're my son. And he hugged him and he kissed him. So I would say, Dad, your children, particularly your sons, they need an embrace from you. My son's a big old burly joker. He's about 6'1" and just thick, muscular, and like I have to look up to him now, but like there's just something when we hug. It does my heart good, and I know that it does his heart good. But here's the deal. Don't only do it when things are going well. This kid was coming back from wild living. Everybody, he had the reputation. But everybody, you know, they was ready to stone him. But he said, he hugged him and he kissed him. And what this does, when you hug your son, When you throw your arm around them, it communicates love and acceptance. And in those times when maybe he missed the mark, maybe he going through some consequences of a bad choice, I don't know. But what it communicates to him when dad comes up, throws his arm around him, instead of trying to give him a lecture or a instruction, it lets that boy know everything's going to be okay. Daddy's here. Everything's going to be okay. It creates a sense of security within your children when you show affection. You hug them. Listen, there's for the daughter, there's something special about a kiss from the father to his daughters. Now, age appropriate, obviously, but every time I try to do my best every time to when I hug my daughters, I'm going to hug them. I love you. And I'm going to either kiss them on the forehead, on the cheek, or on the side of the head. I try to be intentional about doing that because I have to be intentional. It doesn't come naturally for me. If I could get the love that I have here out in expression, I'd be probably a little bit better dad. But I want to share with you some ways to show affection. For the son, when he's young, wrestle with him. Wrestle with him. Got to make listen, every opportunity you get, whether they're young or whether make physical contact with them. There's something that transfers from the father to the child when there's just a touch from dad. Wrestle with them. Listen, when they're little, hold them in your lap. Listen, after three girls, I was so excited to get a son. My wife was like, hallelujah, praise God, we don't have to keep going. We were going to have that boy. Like, she'll tell you, from about the time he was weaned, I was taking him to construction sites. I was taking him to closings. I'd set him up on, like, listen, he was right there with me, man. Listen, we labored hard to get this little guy. And so I held him in my, often. And I would kiss him often. I'd kiss him often when he was a little boy. But when they get older, Dad, when these boys get older, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to hug them. It might be a little awkward then when they're really in their teens and they're super cool. But just do it anyway. Let me tell you something. They love it. It may be, but they listen. Hug them. Listen. Put an arm around their shoulder. Make physical contact with them often. For the daughter, when she is young, hold her in your lap. Hold her, Dad. Don't leave it up just to mom. Hold her often. I would make this injection. If you're expecting a child, male, a boy or girl, either one, if you're expecting a child, Dad, I would encourage you to take a week's of your vacation time. And when that baby's born, you stay at home with your wife and that baby, and you connect with that child. It works, I'm telling you. They need to feel daddy's touch early. They need to hear daddy's voice early. Now back to the daughter, when she is young, hold her often. Hold her in your lap often. Listen, hold her hand often. There's gonna come a time when she's gonna get that googly eyes for some little boy. And the first thing they're probably going to do is hold hands. That shouldn't be the first hand she holds. She needs to hold your hand, Dad. You be the initiator. Listen, hug and kiss her often. Hold her as long as you can and tell her how beautiful she is often. When she becomes older, hug and kiss her often. Hold her as long as she'll let you. Hold her as long as she'll let you. Listen, tell her she's beautiful regularly. Because I promise you, somebody else is going to. I wish I'd have done this when all of my kids were at home and they were younger. And I wish that when it came bedtime, this is what I wish I'd do. And I would encourage you to start doing this. I wish I'd have went to, Hunter was the youngest. I wish I'd have went to Hunter's room and others, you know, their rooms are right down the hall there. And I wish I would have said this loud enough for all the other ones to hear it. Hey, buddy, just want to tell you good night, and I want you to know how much I love you. In fact, you're my favorite. You're my favorite. I love you more than you'll ever know. And I'm so proud that you're my son. And you know what I'd do? I'd go down the hall. I'd say, Hope, Haley, just want to come tell you good night. And I love you. Let me tell you something. I love you to heaven and back more than you. And hey, listen, I want y'all to know you're my favorite. You're my favorite. Now, I'm saying it where they all can hear. I wish I'd have done that. I would encourage you. Then I'd go to that oldest. She had already heard it. And I said, Heather, I sure do love you. You're my first one. You made me a daddy. And you know what? You're my favorite. I love you so much. You're so beautiful. Here's what those kids, this is what they'll realize. Boy, my daddy sure does love me. Not only does he love me, but he loves my brother and he loves my sisters too. Do it, Dad. I promise you, it'll make a difference. And let me tell you something else. Let them see your affection for their mother. Let them see your affection for their mother. Howard Hunter said this, one of the greatest things a father can do for his children is to love their mother. It just gives them some security. It gives them comfort. They know everything. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what they're hearing at school among their friends, that their parents are going through a divorce, they're scared to death that that's what they're going to hear you say. But when they see you affectionate, holding one another, telling each other you love each other, holding hands when you're out in public, or even just sitting on the couch, when you're doing those things, it just gives some security to that child. So what kind of father does every child need? They need an affirming father. They need an affectionate father. And then lastly, every child needs an applauding father. An applauding father. God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. God is applauding Jesus in front of the world. He is praising his son in front of other people. Chaim Jinot, he is a child psychologist. This is such a good quote. He said, children are like wet cement. Whatever falls on them makes an impression. Let words of praise fall on your children often. Listen, praise them in front of others. They need dad's approval, applause. I played sports my whole life. Anytime I can remember it like it was yesterday, I played. Every time I did something good, which was not often, but every time I did, you know who the first person I looked for? My dad. Running off the field. I wanted to see what dad thought. I want to see what my daddy thought. Listen, every child needs that praise. And when I looked at my daddy standing up, he's clapping, that's my boy. Man, you couldn't tell me nothing. You couldn't tell me nothing. Listen, an attaboy or an attagirl does more to build inner strength in your child's heart than any lecture or instruction you could ever give them. Just applaud them. Praise them. Oh, God. So a couple of weeks ago, we had, you know, school's out, and I've got 10 grandkids, 8 of them granddaughters, and 2 grandboys. They had an award ceremony, honor roll. I mean, this place is packed. And so the lady gets up there, this kind of overseeing the thing, and she said, okay, we're about to begin. She said, listen, We got hundreds of students that we're going to recognize. So if you will, save your applause to the end. I said, yeah, right. Are you kidding me? These are my grandbabies. These are my kids. No. Hey, listen, I was already, ready to go, buddy. And so, Heidi Floyd. Way to go, Heidi! My daughter about climbed under the seat behind me, her mom. Way to go, Peyton! Hey, it didn't take but about the second time. Guess what other dads started doing? Those babies need to hear it. Listen, I have a responsibility as a grandfather to applaud those kids. Let them know they need it. They need it. Way to go, Brindley. I mean, my family, we had a whole like two rows and they knew, right? They were all kind of ducking down. But listen, I wanted those babies. They'll never forget that. They'll never forget that. Lady Bird Johnson, the former first lady, said, encourage and support your kids because children are apt to live up to what you believe of them. The Apostle John in 3 John, the letter 3 John 1, verse 4, he said, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. He wrote that in the scriptures. You talking about applauding his children in front of others? Millions and billions of people since that time who've read the word, listen, they need it. They need an applauding father. God is all about applauding us. All throughout the Gospels, he would say, well done. Well done. Well done. As much as your child, Dad, needs your love, they need your applause. They need your applause. We should be praising our children more than punishing them. I can hear it now, but you don't know my boy. You don't know my daughter. Well, let me tell you something. Maybe if you recognize and rewarded the good behavior, you would begin to see it more often. Because what gets rewarded gets repeated. Always remember that. If you got employees, what gets rewarded gets repeated. So I'm going to close with this. You want to be the best dad you can be. You want to be the dad that every child needs. Begin to affirm your children. Begin to affirm your children. Listen, be affectionate with your child. Give them a hug. Give them a kiss. Make physical contact with them as often as you can. And listen, be their biggest fan. Be their biggest fan. Applaud them often and in public. Just for a moment, with every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm so thankful that I can say today, I can recognize God as Abba Father because I am a child of God. I can recognize him as Father. But I realize in a room this size that not everybody can say that because not everybody has placed their faith in Christ. You've not entered into that relationship where you can, through belief, be called sons and daughters of God. But I want to give you that opportunity right now. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to say a very simple prayer. And this prayer, nothing supernatural about this prayer. What makes the difference is I'm just kind of giving you, I'm just kind of leading you with the vernacular. But this prayer from your heart to God's heart is what makes it, enters you into that relationship. And God enters into you through his Holy Spirit. So if you don't know Christ today, you want to know him as that affirming Father. It says, when you get to heaven, well done, good and faithful servant. You want to know that Father that says, this is my son, this is my daughter. You want to know that sweet spiritual touch that comes from a dad, your heavenly Father, just simply pray this prayer after me and give your life to Christ. Pray like this: Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe you died on a cross to pay for my sins. And I believe that 3 days later you rose from the dead, and now you're giving me an opportunity. I know you're here because I just sense this in my heart. Something is going on. I know that I got to get this right with you. And so, Lord, I say yes. God, I wanna follow you. I give you my life. Thank you for dying for me and living for me. And thank you for saving me. Thank you that now I am a son or a daughter of God. When nobody's looking, I just want to celebrate with you. If you prayed that prayer and you meant what you prayed, just let me celebrate with you. Just hold your hand up real high. Hold it up. I see your hands. Anybody else? Just hold it up real high. Pastor, I prayed that prayer with you. Real high. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to stand to our feet. Men, dads, if you're a dad, if you're going to commit today to be that affirming father, to be that affectionate father, to be that applauding father, hey, I'm here. That's where I want to be. I want to get those right in my own life. I'm just going to ask you, if you're making that commitment today to be the dad, the father, even if they don't live in the home with you, or they're grown, again, they're never too old, or if whatever the reason, if you're still the family unit as a whole and they're in your home, listen, if you want to make that commitment with me, I'm making that commitment myself. I just want you to come and line up right here, because I'm going to say a special prayer for us, Dad. I'm going to say a special, just make your way and line up right here. They're just going to softly play. If you want to make that commitment to be the dad, the father, the daddy that your child needs, no matter their age, you come, and I'm just going to pray, because let me tell you something. This blesses God. He set the example, and this is what he blesses, is when we say, yes, Lord, I want to be that kind of father. I want to be. And let me tell you something, men, before we pray. There's young people around you that's not biologically, they're not even in your family. They may be in the workplace. They're looking at you. You're a father figure to them. You may be the only father that they ever know or see. Don't overlook that. Don't overlook that. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for these men. Thank you for these fathers. Thank you for the stand that they're taking. God, this world kind of molds us and shapes us to be hard. But we love our children. I know we don't always do the best at showing that. But God, we believe that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you're going to help us to be an affirming father. We want our children to know how valuable they are to us. Show us how we can do that. Open our eyes to see the opportunities to just affirm them, to introduce them as my son, my daughter. God, help us to be affectionate. That's tough for us sometimes. It's tough. It may be awkward for our children because they've never seen that side of us. But God, help us not let that deter us. Help them, because I know they so long for it. Help us to be an affectionate father. God, help us to be their biggest fan. Help us to be there encouraging them, exhorting them, and God, just imploring them and celebrating them, not only when things are going well for them. God, help us to be their biggest fan no matter what. God, I pray your favor upon these men. God, we sang the blessing, Lord. And God, I pray that, God, that they, their children, regardless of the age, from this moment forward, they see something's different about Daddy. Something good's happening in my Daddy. Forgive us for where we got it wrong. Thank you, Lord, for grace and mercy that we get do-overs. May our children see you in us. May we have the gentle hand, a firm hand, but gentle hand, because they need both. Bless these men, God. Make them great dads because that's where their heart is bent. Make them the dad that their child needs. We love you, we praise you, and we exalt you. And we ask you.